I have been here forever underneath the sky, watching the way the clouds whirl all across the land, feeling the wind blowing softly all those summer nights, hearing the sounds that the rain makes when it falls.
I have been here forever. It came from a poem that just on the very fact that our people have been here all these thousands and thousands of years, and that the reason that we love this land isn't because we're allowed to cross the border. It's more like we grew up here. This is our reality. This, you know, our uncles are our abuelitas and so forth, and our forefathers are from here, you know, and right across the border. This was Mexico, and to many people, it still is Mexico. And those feelings go all the way back to ownership of the land. So, and then you have here foreigners coming in from Europe and telling you that you don't live here, that your culture, that your language, and that your family have no right here whatsoever. And so that's quite a shock. This is my land too.
And I still remember.
My first contact with music was in the first grade. Actually, it was a second contact because in Ciudad Juarez, where I grew up, I remember birthday parties and things like that in the community. But the music didn't stand out at the moment. I was too young, like four. So it was all a blur. Later in the first grade in Lordsburg, New Mexico, the teacher would play classical music for us. With me, something strange happened. Somehow, my mind was able to, I don't know, in a way, record the music. I mean, I didn't have to remember it. My mind would play it back. And it would play back all of this classical music and so forth. So it was very strange because sometimes on the way home, I would be with my head in the clouds hearing concerts and just going, la, da, 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 directing things, you know, up here. Mm. So I guess on the outside, I might have appeared like a crazy kid. But the melodies and the harmonies and all of that were running around in the inside of my head. And that effect lasted for years. I was very attracted to music, and I always wanted to be involved with music in some way or another, but never had the opportunity. And all of this became very clear to me when I was visiting Ciudad Juarez, where my family's from, and I saw this couple next door playing the guitar and singing duets, and it was so beautiful. I went and sat down next to them, and I was listening to them play. And as I'm hearing them sing and so forth, it was like I became a different individual. And I don't know, in tune or something, I don't know. But the desire to play music was really intense. And when I returned home about 2 or 3 months later, my uncle bought the same guitar from those folks and sent it to me. So I swore then that if I ever learned how to play music, that I would become a teacher and that I would show people how to play music. I learned from different groups and different musical groups. Like in Selma, I was in several bands. Before I joined the union, I was in several bands. And what was hot then was rock and roll. And I had the opportunity, I was very lucky, because I stayed with this woman who was my mother's friend, and she had stacks of ranchera recordings and the Trio Los Panchos and all kinds of stuff. So when I wasn't working, I would sit there and play these records and listen to them and take out my guitar and try to match chords and so forth. But I was so far away from being able to do that. I mean, it was like 30, 40 years to be able to play what the Trio Los Panchos were doing at the time.
Una noche azul. La luna solitaria bañaba todo el cielo
y esa noche azul. Tus ojos me encargaron que cuidara.
When we arrived here from Lordsburg, New Mexico, we moved to a little place called Layton, which is a farmworker town. It always has been. And like as I mentioned before, my mother hadn't worked in the fields until then. She had done all kinds of different odd jobs and so forth, but this was the first time for her. And I remember her going out to work the very first day because I went with her. And she was crushing all the grapes and the berries, and we're out in the field, right? We're out in the row there. And there was a small grower, a farmer, kindly, very kindly old man, you know. And he said, you know, dearie, you're crushing the berries, and can you tell your mother? And so there I am, trying to explain to her not to crush the berries and so forth. And so he would come back and visit us, you know, every 35, 40 minutes and go look at the work and go, this one's better, dearie. Okay, you're getting better. So about halfway through the row, she finally got the hang of it, you know.
What a story.
But the man knew, the rancher also knew that eventually she would get it, and then from then on he would make his money back. And anyway, at that particular place, the whole family was set up, so we lived in a barn, including my grandmother and uncle were with me. So, in terms of suffering, I didn't suffer anything because I wasn't really working in the fields at the time. I was just taking water to my mother and so forth and disobeying her and doing whatever I wanted to do in the fields. It was wonderful to have open fields and plants and trees and water and frogs and birds, you know, beautiful. By 9, I was picking cotton.
Wow.
And also grapes and so forth. But what I really liked was cotton. It was a miserable, paying type of job for everybody, but I liked being out in the open and away from the labor camp. And having the opportunity to make a little bit of money and help the family was very important to me. And I really threw myself into that with total dedication.
La jornada.
In 1965, I was living out here in the country with another friend, and I read a newspaper at the time that mentioned the strike. So this particular friend came over. I can't remember his name right now, but he was making a trip to Delano. So several of us went, and among them was Doug Rippey, Mary Murphy, and other individuals that I got to meet on the way there. And that was the first time that I went to the picket lines. It scared me to death because I saw the potential for violence and death. And well, you remember how the growers would come out there and put chemicals on people, spray them, you know, and take out the dogs and throw them at people, you know. And some of the growers and some of the guards there would sexually molest the women in front of, you know, like in the picket lines in front of their men to get them, to goad them to fight. And of course, we had training, so no one broke the ranks. I mean, it was really hell. I suppose for the men who were there to see their not only their daughters, but their wives handled and you know, groped. I saw the children and the los tíos, las tías, los abuelitos, and everybody fighting for their rights, and it really inspired me. But at the same time, it also shamed me too, because they were losing their cars and their homes and everything. And no, I didn't have a car, I didn't have a home to lose or anything, but I could really feel what they were. I could commiserate. I could understand what they were feeling and going through. So I stayed. I said, if they can take it, so can I.
Ser como el aire libre, no más se pasa volando. Ser como la paloma, también se pasa volando. Cuando
yo era chico. Mi madrecita decía, cuídate mi mijito, no te me metas en lío.
I was very lucky when I went to Delano because it was like a university or a college there too, because there were so many musicians of different capabilities. You know, we had people who played classical music all the way down to, you know, campesinos who knew huapangos and all beautiful things like that. So it was a field day for me. I mean, I went from one place to the other, and I'd hang out with different people just to pick up chords and to learn to music and to hear what they were playing. But every time I would learn a new rhythm, I would write a song. But it was 65, and it was a winter, and a bunch of new volunteers came in at one point, and Luis was one of them. He ended up living in the same place that I did, which was one room, and there were at least 25 of us sleeping on the floor in sleeping bags, no heating, no telephone, no chairs, nothing, nomás en el suelo, just like that. And it was wonderful because in the morning, Dolores Huerta or some other person would go there and bang the hell out of the door and say, come on, let's go. About 4 o'clock, 4:30 in the morning, we'd run out there, you know, in the fog to go and picket. And that's how Luis and I got to know each other, on the picket line. So almost immediately, we had a meeting in one of the little shops, coffee shops in downtown Delano. And Luis was saying that he had an idea about starting a theatrical group. Would I be interested in that? And I told him I would be very interested in doing that. And I said, because I've done some theater and so forth. And he said, well, let's start to do it. And I said, set the time, you know, and we'll go out and recruit people and figure out how to do it. But we ran into trouble right away because every person that we would get, you know, we would go to Caesar and go, no, you can't use this person because this person is too valuable to me. We go, but wait a minute, you know, can't we just use them for a little while? They go, no, you can't have them. You can't have that individual at all. And so we ended up with a whole different group of people from different backgrounds. And one of them was like Roy Valdez and Carolina Franco. There's just too many people to try to remember. Jose Otero. But we began to get the group together, and we learned from the activities on the picket lines, you know. Whatever happened, whatever action took place on the picket lines, and we were studying the growers as they would come out, you know, and so some of them were real mocking individuals, and some of them were a little bit slicker and sly. But people like Pandel and these individuals were really easy to put on stage because they come out and go, what are you doing, boy? Let me see your hands. Are you a farm worker? Don't look like you're a farm worker to me. So we just took exactly what they were saying and their attitude and put it on the stage. And people, the farm workers and the volunteers just were blown away. I liked all of it. The hardest part were the performances. Mm-hmm. And the touring. You know, it's very hard, very difficult on you because for the same reasons, you know, you're sleeping on the floor, you're traveling, you're performing, and you're going and you're going and you're going, and you get yourself there, and there's very little money involved in it. And of course, in those days, that wasn't the idea. We weren't involved for the money. We were taking those ideas to different communities and telling people that they needed to liberate themselves and get better wages. Yo no le tengo miedo a nada. I'm not afraid of anything was, I think, the first song that I wrote. And the reason that I did was because this is the second year being on strike. And as I said, the strikers were losing their homes and their cars, and there was no money for survival. It was a very tough, economic, difficult time for everybody. And our strikers were very depressed, and their morale was low. So I had the opportunity to say my viewpoint, and it was the perspective of campesinos.
Yo no le tengo miedo a nada. A nada le tengo miedo yo. Unos pierden y otros ganan, pero a mí no me gusta perder. Y por eso
the lesson in Ser como el aire libre, to be free as the wind, another song that I wrote, was that my mother had always taught me that you need to be a good boy not get in trouble, especially do not get arrested by the police. You don't want a record, and so forth. So I spent my life trying to be clean, trying to stay out of gangs, trying to stay, and I did. I did stay out of gangs and all of these kinds of different things to end up in Delano, you know, to disobey them there so they could throw me in jail. And so I wrote the song realizing that if you don't do anything, you don't go anywhere. If you don't take any action, you don't move. But the thing that most people don't know is that many of the melodies come from Cuba. Vuelo en General is still a song that is sung in Cuba, and it's a historical song dealing with Cuba. Niños Campesinos is another melody that comes from Cuba. I think it's another march. And El Esquirol and songs like that are traditional songs from Mexico. The good thing about the songs from Cuba is that nobody had heard them, so they were basically new. Let me tell you about La Peregrinación. We needed a march, and we needed something that would symbolize all of the people who were involved, not just Mexicanos, but everybody. But I had a real conflict with putting the Virgen de Guadalupe in there since I was no longer religious, you know? And I was really questioning myself about that, and a real terrible moral fight within myself because I didn't want to add that in one of my songs. But then as I looked around more and I saw the campesinos, I realized that I wasn't writing for myself and that this was not a song for me necessarily, but it was an expression of the union, and I had to give into it. So I did. And I didn't care very much for myself for a long time for doing that. I thought I had sold out on myself. But I did it anyway. Caesar walked in, and this is the march that started that day. And a little while earlier, like maybe an hour and a half ago, he had been facing the police and telling him, "What do you mean you're not going to let this march go? You are going to let this march go." And he was on the phone talking to people and so forth. Within an hour and a half, the police moved and the march went on. But they were going to stop us, huh? Right? Just like Alabama. And I had had half of the song, and he said, "That sounds really good." He goes, "Well, can you have it ready by tomorrow?" And actually, the song was finished. I just couldn't put the second part in. You know, I couldn't do it. I couldn't bring myself to do it. So I lied. I told him, "No, Caesar, no está todavía." And he goes, "Well, man, it would be really great if you could have it by tomorrow because we're going to be at such and such town. And then you could sing it and blah, blah, blah." And I said, "Okay." He said, "Well, what do you need?" I said, "Let me have some gas money so I can get there." So he reached into his pocket and pulled out the last minute. He goes, "Here, ya no tengo nada." So he gave me all his cash and I put it into my pocket. And then I went and got a car. And the song was complete. And I didn't sing it until the third or the fourth day of the strike because I could not make myself sing it. This was in the very first days of the strike, like the first few months. One day I walked in there and there was a record player, and somebody had left on the Freedom Singers. And it was just going round, and it was just mind-blowing. Not so much the songs, because they tended to be like secular, religious songs, like We Shall Overcome and so forth. And at that time I had no concept where these songs came from. But there was something about the recording that really captured my imagination. And what it was that the hundreds of people that were singing these songs, and then I realized that they were on marches. And then one day somebody put the TV on, and as I'm listening to the recording, I'm watching the television over here, and I'm watching them get maced, get beaten with dogs throwing on them and so forth. And the whole picture came together. And so as I'm looking at the cover of the Freedom Singers, I'm looking at the face of these individuals that I didn't know. I never thought I would meet, and I thought that they may have been killed by the police in the South. Well, many, many years later, we were invited to perform at the Smithsonian Folklife Festival. And I got to meet the Freedom Singers. What was fantastic about meeting them was that it was almost identical, the experiences that we had shared in different ways and how we had grown up and how music had been fundamental to our survival. And they started telling stories. We had a chance to connect with them. We started talking about them. We were swapping stories and so forth. And they were saying that one day that they had put on a Ku Klux Klan outfits over their heads, you know, the hood, to go into the meeting where these racists were talking about who they were going to kill and so forth. And these are singers who are also organizers, and they're going into these places. Just, it would make my skin crawl just from thinking about how they had put themselves and their lives in danger and so forth. And out of all the groups, and I mean, I felt really close to everybody who was there because it was all movement oriented. It was so moving, and it cut through the ages and time, and it just really affected me. And we made a special friendship and relationship with them, and I don't think that would ever be possible with anybody else. We could only share that with musicians and people who had been in the same types of circumstances and putting their lives up every day, you know. You never knew what was going to happen to you. It was remarkable that their music would help our movement. I know how they suffered, and I know why they did it. We are identical people. We are identical.
Bueno, pues, ¿qué hubo? ¿Cómo les va? Qué lindo día para cantar noticias que han llegado de Nuevo México, 1840.
And the reason that I wrote the song ¿Qué hubo, raza? 1969 was to define the Chicano movement, was to try to give everybody out there a song that pinpointed the problems and said, this is why we're singing, this is why we're marching, this is why we're picketing or boycotting or whatever. And so what I'm telling people with the song is, do something, then you get involved.
Y el mexicano serse gringo no puede ni quiere. El mexicano serse gringo no puede ni será. Porque en sus venas trae la sangre chichimeca, zapoteca y de los yaquis, xochimilca y de los mayas. Cuerpo trae la sangre de Cuauhtémoc, de Morelos y Zapata y el famoso Pancho Villa.
One of the first songs that I wrote also was Summer Winds, which is about war and the effect on children and people. But I never performed it at a Friday night meeting because it was a concept dealing with Vietnam and the war and so forth.
Kind of man, afraid of dying. But I cannot, and I will not be the judge of human life in this world. In this world, in this world, winter
I just wonder where you get your images from and how do these words come to you, that when you write a song, I'm curious about that.
I think from the total experience, from the things that I see that are around there, and everything that I have learned or I believe to be true about life. Mm. You know, you have something happening tomorrow and you write a song for that. Mm. And then when tomorrow's gone, the song's dead. There's no reason for it to live. So after making that mistake 3 or 4 times and having to throw a song away, I said, you know what? I'm not doing this stuff anymore. I'm going to do it the right way. I'm going to write a song that has a universal and a lasting quality, and that I'm tapping into things that are not just momentary and will fade away right away. Indio is more about Central America and Mexico too, to a great degree, but Latin America and the control that the foreigners have had over all of that, and the destruction of the indigenous family.
Por el monte se ven las cruces de una familia enterrada allí. Se ven las cruces. Por toda la frontera le llaman liberador a ese Juan Cortina que un ejército lanzó.
Teaching music and theater in the community. And it's one of the most enjoyable things that I do in the world, because I know I like to work with different age groups. You know, I like from the very old that come into the guitar classes, for example, to the very young who also come into the classes too. And about almost, we're going on 6 years now, I decided to start a theatrical group because it's important to get the word out to people about how we feel about the things that are going on in this community. It's not good to be silent and to be quiet, because then people assume that you agree with them, and I do not. In 1970, when over 40 growers came to Delano to sign the contracts with the United Farm Workers, that is a special time for me, because historically it had never been repeated. No one had ever been able to defeat the growers, and the fact that we were Rascuachi, human, Mexican, Chicanos, Latinos who were doing this was especially felt really wonderful to me, because we brought those powerful people that had millions and billions of dollars combined, you know, and we defeated them with people power, and we were stronger than they were, and we not only did we wear them out, we kicked their asses, and we can do it again, and the next time we're going to do it better.
Cuando el pueblo se levante por pan, libertad y tierra. Cuando el pueblo se levante por pan, libertad y tierra. Temblarán los poderosos de la costa hasta la sierra. Temblarán los poderosos de la costa hasta la sierra.